just want to refer to three very well known and short passages. And the first is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter in through the narrow gate, for wide the gate and broad the way that leads to destruction, and many are they who enter in through it. For narrow the gate and straitened the way that leads to life, and they are few who find it. Book of the Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And finally, a reference in John's Gospel, chapter 14, first part of verse 6. Jesus says to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. It might be evident to you, dear hearer, that these scriptures all make reference to the way, or a way. My very simple desire to speak briefly and simply about the way. Life is a journey, as we're often told, and how true that is. So therefore, we're all on one way or another. And this scripture in Matthew points out that we're on one of two ways, either the broad way or on the narrow way. And you know, dear friends, only you know which of these ways you're on. The broad way, you're on the broad way, dear friend, if you have not yielded to God's overtures of grace in the gospel. And you're on the narrow way if you have yielded to those overtures of grace by accepting his wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, his well-beloved Son, who is the theme of the gospel message tonight. And my desire simply to draw your attention to the glory and worth of Christ, you know. But how solemn it is, you know, that really at one time or another in our lives, we all are on the broad way. Because we've all gone our own way. We've all thought that we know better. Which one of us hadn't thought at one time or another that I know best what's best for myself? And in that way, I'd like to link that with what I read in Proverbs about a way that seemeth right unto a man. And we see it all around us today, particularly, how stark it is. Man seeking to go one way, really completely the opposite way from what God would have him. A way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof, the ways of death. You know, God set out the way of living for man and the way of blessing by providing marriage and such like in the way that the family was to be, and all these things was so that man would be blessed. Well, you know, man's giving all these things up. What is marriage these days? What is family? It's all being given up. They're collapsing moral standards in the world, all because man thinks he knows best. There is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof, the ways of death. Well, you say, this is not a very cheerful message, but how true it is. You have to understand, dear friend, that the way that you think is right is not right. God would have you submit to his wonderful overtures of grace in the gospel. And how wonderful it is that despite man's insistence on going the opposite way, God's light continues to shine, you know. And God is still appealing in the gospel tonight. Turn ye, for why will ye die, you know. What a wonderful appeal. God has in mind that you should come into life. And life is found alone in Jesus. How do I get onto the narrow way, you ask? Well, at the beginning of the narrow way, you know, you come to the cross. Come to the cross. And that is really the kernel of the gospel message. Where Jesus suffered God's judgment against sin and sins. in order that you and I, who are lost and far from him, should come into blessing. Do you know of a better message than that? That God, who loves you so much, that he was prepared to send his only son into this world, not only to demonstrate his immense love by the pathway of Jesus, you know, but also to fully express it in him giving up his life. A life, you know, that was one of complete perfection. There's never been a life like the life of Jesus, you know. Why was it so different? It was so different because he was sin apart. He was God manifest in flesh. You think of the glory and the delight of the heavenly host when Christ was born, you know. Think of the angels looking upon their Creator in human form for the very first time. We all might say, oh, wonder of the universe. Who could conceive it? Who could conceive that God would become manifest in flesh? Only God could conceive that. And it was all in order that he might come out and have a righteous basis to come out in blessing towards you and I as sinners. We spoke about righteousness in the reading this afternoon. You know, it speaks about man's righteousness being as filthy rags. The righteousness of God has been completely upheld by Christ, by the giving of Christ. And such has been his delight in that sacrifice, that perfect, spotless sacrifice, that everyone who puts their faith and trust in him tonight can be saved for time and for eternity.
Amen.
Your sins and your iniquities I will never remember anymore forever, the blessed God says. Think about that. And you know, that's not the same as God forgetting. He chooses not to remember. How wonderful. I will not remember any more forever. You know, Satan loves to bring up our sins against us, you know. Even once we're saved. I have experience of that, I'm sure you do too. But you know, once you've put your faith and trust in this blessed one, once your sins have been washed in his precious shed blood, you know, they can never be brought up against you again. Wonderful message in the gospel, you know. And you know, dear friends, it comes to you completely free. Completely free. What else do you get for free today? But you know, it's cost the blessed God everything. You think it was nothing for God to send Jesus? You think it was nothing for Jesus to suffer there on Calvary's cross? He suffered, you know, as no one has suffered or will ever suffer. Because he felt things completely sin apart. You think of what it meant for a sinless, spotless one to be made sin. For you and I, it's commonplace. We're sinful creatures. You might say it was completely foreign to the blessed, to Christ, you know. Yet he was made sin in order that God might pour out his judgment against it, that it might be done once and once for all. This is not a work that has to be repeated, you know. In the old economy, the blood of bulls and goats had to be slain time and time and time again. The blood of bulls and goats, the scripture says, is incapable of taking away sin. But you know, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Dear friends, are you sheltering under the precious blood of Christ tonight? The only place of shelter, you know, the only real place of shelter there is. You think of it, man out there, going headlong into judgment, you know, completely oblivious of it. You think God doesn't care? Of course he cares. That's why the gospel message goes out. That's why the appeal goes out day and day out. The preacher can't save you, dear friend. The preacher can merely point the way. And you know, the way that I'm pointing you tonight, dear friends, is to Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. What beautiful words that is, you know. What words of comfort. What words of joy. Has it been your experience, dear friend, to find that Jesus is the way, the truth and the life? Because, you know, true life is found alone in Jesus. It is, you know. And that's something that you can only experience by coming to Him yourself. You know, I've never met one person that's regretted coming to know Christ as their Saviour. Not one. This blessed one, you know, who loves you so much, He was prepared to die for you. Is He not worth your consideration tonight, dear friends? We deserve nothing. Do you realise that? We deserve nothing because the Scripture reminds us that the wages of sin is death. Death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. That's a good place to start, you know, to accept that you're a sinner. Because there's plenty of people out there that don't believe they're sinners. I speak to them on a regular basis. I'm sure you do too. Come into contact with people who have no acceptance of the fact that they are sinners. I'll tell you why. Because accepting you're a sinner means that you accept you have a responsibility to God. Do you accept, dear friends, that you have a responsibility to God? You know, there's a word in the prophet Amos, a very small book, a few lines of a verse that says, "Prepare to meet thy God." And yes, it's said to Israel, but I'd like to apply it to you tonight. And to everyone in the universe tonight, prepare to meet thy God. You know, each one of us will meet God, one way or another. You will either meet Him, dear friends, as a glorious Saviour in this wonderful day of grace when He's being offered to you. When His hands and mercy are out towards you tonight, pleading with you, a lost, ruined sinner, to come to Him. Come to Me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Beautiful words of the Saviour, you know. Just as current today as they were when He first said them. So available, you know. Meet Him as a Saviour tonight. Or, dear friends, you will meet Him in a coming day as a judge. As a judge. Prepare to meet my God. Dear friends, today is the well-accepted time. Today. Satan loves it when men procrastinate, doesn't he? Loves to fill their minds and their lives with pointless exercises and things. Anything to keep them from thinking about their eternal destiny. That's really the broad way, you know. There's plenty of distractions on the broad way. It's a very attractive place. I would be lying if I said it wasn't. There is that in each one of us, that flesh in each one of us that finds the broad way attractive. Yet God continues to appeal. Continues to appeal. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Dear friends, have you found this glorious Saviour for yourself? You know, yes, He went into death. And you know, as far as the world's concerned, that's the last they saw of Christ. But you know, we know from the authority of Scripture that God raised Him on the third day. And that's how I know that God is satisfied with the work of Christ, because He raised Him. Wonderful truth, you know, of the gospel, that Christ is alive. And you know, He's in the glory tonight, at the Father's right hand, crowned with glory and honour. What a position Jesus takes up, you know. How worthy He is of it, you know. How worthy He is of your acceptance tonight. What a glorious person He is, you know. What peace and joy fills your soul, you know, when you put your faith and trust in this glorious one. Conscious sense, you know, that your past is completely settled and that the future is secure. You know, it speaks about the narrow way leading to life. Leading to life. And you know where it's ultimately leading? It's ultimately leading to the glory. To spend eternity with the Saviour. What a hope. What a hope the believer has, you know. There are plenty of false hopes in the world, aren't there? Men cling to hope, don't they? Hope for peace in the Middle East. Hope for this, hope for that. There's nothing to base the hope on. Our hope is based on a firm foundation, dear friend. Because it's based on the finished work of Christ. And on the sure and certain hope that he's coming again. Coming for all those who put their faith and trust in him, you know. Are you looking for it? I am. What a challenge it is for each one of us that are believers as to whether we, every morning we wake up, and this is a challenge to myself as well as those who I'm speaking to. Every day when I wake up, do I think it might be today? Because it might be, you know. The vital point is, dear friends, is to know and be assured of a living link with this glorious Saviour. I am the way, the truth and the life. Dear friends, may you find yourself on this wonderful narrow way which leads to life and ultimately to glory. May the Lord bless the Lord for his name's sake.